I join in welcoming you this morning. We have a good crowd and visitors among us. We're glad to see you. I want you to feel at ease as you make your visit, knowing that you're among friends. As the Lord said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, in John 15 and verse 14. I encourage you to get your Bible and search the Scriptures with us. Feel free to take whatever notes you might. The Scriptures that will be used in this study will be projected, that you might jot those down. You may or may not have time to turn to all of those, but at least you could write those down and go back and read those when you have the opportunity. I turn your attention back to the reading a few moments ago from the book of Numbers chapter 6, which introduces the theme of our study. But in verse 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his son, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them." And thus we explore blessing on this wise. What I'd like for us to do in this brief study is call attention to the different aspects of this blessing on this wise. The first thing I call to your attention from verse 24 is the expression, "The Lord bless thee." I suggest that there's no greater promise than when the Lord says, as He did to the patriarch Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, "I will bless thee." It needs to be pointed out that the Lord's blessing us is conditional. There's always been an if connected to the Lord's blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 12, that becomes clear when it is said, "It shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee and what? Bless thee." Notice, blessing came after if, showing it to be a conditional thing. Also in Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse 26, it is recorded, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if what? You obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey." And so, God set before His people a blessing and a curse. Whether we realize it or not, when we choose to obey the Lord, we choose a blessing. But if we choose not to obey the Lord, then we choose for ourselves a curse. The psalmist said in Psalm 115 and verse 13, "He," that is the Lord, "will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." That brings up this question. Do we fear the Lord, whether small or great? Blessing has always been associated with fearing the Lord. That is, reverencing the Lord so as to do His bidding. Like in Psalm 128, when the psalmist said in verse 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." And then he said in verse 5, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion." If you want the Lord to bless you, if I want the Lord to bless me, then we need to fear the Lord. But it needs to be pointed out as well that the New Testament reveals that all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ. Notice when Paul wrote the church at Ephesus, he said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us referring to the saints and to the faithful in Christ," verse 1, with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I got a question for you now. Where are all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places to be found? What's the last two words? In Christ. If all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ, then how many spiritual blessings are to be found outside of Christ? Not a single one. So that brings up the question, how do we get into Christ so that we can have all spiritual blessings? The Bible answers that in such places as Galatians 3:27, when Paul said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Have you been baptized into Christ? And so the first part of this blessing of Numbers chapter 6 involves this expression, "The Lord bless thee." If you and I want the Lord to bless us spiritually, then we need to be in the Lord. But also, I'm impressed with the expression in number 6 and verse 24 when he said, "And keep thee." What a great blessing to know that the Lord is our keeper. In the book of Genesis in chapter 28, with reference to Jacob, Abraham's grandson. You remember Jacob's ladder? When he had stones for his pillow and lying down to sleep, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder, the top of it reached to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. The Lord stood above it and said in Genesis 28 and verse 15, "Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee." Put yourself in his place. What a comfort to know that the Lord is my keeper, that he will be with me in all the places I go, and that he'll not leave me. As you entertain this blessing on this life from number 6, don't overlook "and keep thee." In verses 20 through 22, you remember Jacob's vow in connection with that? He said, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." In Hannah's prayer, in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 9, remember when she prayed to the Lord? She said to the Lord, "He will keep the feet of his saints." That's 1 Samuel 2:9. The psalmist petitioned the Lord in Psalm 17 and verse 8, "Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings." May the Lord bless you and keep you. But also, in verse 25 of the reading, it is recorded, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee." Did you know the Lord has a face? The Lord's face is often revealed within the pages of this book. We're first introduced to that concept in the book of Genesis chapter 19 and verse 13 with reference to the iniquity of Sodom and God's plan to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19 and verse 13, those sent unto Lot were told, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord." The Bible reveals that the Lord's face is against some people. Like in the book of Leviticus chapter 20, verse 3, and again in verses 5 and 6, you find it said, "I will set my face against that man." And as you read the Old Testament, you come to understand very quickly that you don't want to be that man against whom the Lord turns his face. The psalmist sums that up so well in Psalm 34 and verse 16 when he said, "The face of the Lord is against who? Them that do evil." And so where does that put me today if I do evil? It puts me in a place where the face of the Lord is against me. Isaiah revealed to those of his time in Isaiah 59 and verse 2 that your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins, what about their sins, have hid His face from you, that He'll not hear. Do you know that sin causes God's face to be hid from you in such a way that He'll not hear you? And so one of the conditions of acceptable prayer is being in the proper spiritual condition. Instead of the Lord's face being hid from you, being against you, it's our prayer that the Lord will make His face to shine upon you. I like the words of the psalmist when he often refers to this language in Psalm 31, beginning verse 14. He said, "But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant." Psalm 31 and verse 16. Again, in Psalm 67 and verse 1, he said, "God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us." Psalm 80 and verse 3 again says, "Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Do you have that kind of confidence today? That kind of trust that the psalmist did? In Psalm 119, where he extols the Lord's Word, in verse 135, he said, "Make Thy face to shine upon Thy servant, and teach me Thy statutes." And so often he talked about the Lord's face being made to shine. In the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed and confessed transgression, he invokes this same language. Notice his prayer in Daniel chapter 9, where he said in verse 4, "I prayed and made my confession." He said in verse 5, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity." Verse 8 again, "We have sinned against Thee." Verse 9, "We have rebelled." Verse 11, "All Israel have transgressed." Verse 11, "We have sinned." Verse 14, he said, we obeyed not. Verse 15, "We have sinned." And then in verse 17, he says, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of Thy servant and his supplications, and cause Thy face to shine upon Thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May it not be against you. May it not be such that His face is hid from you. But also, as you explore the blessing on this wise, as recorded in Numbers chapter 6, you might take note of verse 25 when he says, "And be gracious unto thee." One of the great attributes of the Lord, and there are many, is the fact that the Lord is a gracious God. Like in Exodus 22 and verse 27, where the Lord said, you might highlight these three words, "I am gracious." A lot of people have not learned that. It's in the context of lending money to any of the Lord's people, how that you're not to be a usurer. And He said, if you at all take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, deliver it unto him by the sun goeth down. You know, some things need to be done before the sun goes down, right? Like your anger or wrath. What's it to be done? Put away from you, right? He said in verse 27, "For that is His covering only, it is His raiment for His sin. Wherein shall He sleep? And it shall come to pass when He crieth unto me that I'll hear her, I am gracious." God is a gracious God. In Exodus 33 and 19, the Lord said, "I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious." In Exodus 34, on that occasion, the Lord passed before Moses. And you remember what He proclaimed? "The Lord God, merciful and gracious, Nehemiah 9 and verse 17, I read where it is said, "Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful." May God be gracious unto you. The gracious attribute of God ought to serve as incentive for us to turn to the Lord. Back in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, when Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent letters to all Israel. And the message basically of those letters is as expressed in verse 6, "Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and He'll return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria." So you might underscore, turn again to the Lord. That's His plea. That's His cry. He said in verse 7, "Be not like your fathers, and like your brethren which trespassed against the Lord, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as ye see. Now be not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you." Now watch this statement, verse 9. He said, "For if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious." What was it that ought to move and motivate them to turn to the Lord? The fact that the Lord is gracious and merciful and will not turn away His face from you if you return unto Him. And so as this blessing says in Numbers 6 and verse 25, "May the Lord be gracious unto thee." But then the next statement in verse 26 that I want you to notice is when this blessing says, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." That has to do with your face or your facial expression, the word countenance. And the Scriptures often make reference to the Lord's countenance. Back in Psalm 4 and verse 6, wherein the psalmist uttered, "Lord, lift Thou up the light of Thy countenance upon us." In Psalm 11 and verse 7, he said, "For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright." The upright are those who are righteous, who do righteousness. You see, if I'm righteous, the Lord loves me. And His countenance lights upon me. Is His countenance lighting upon you today? In Psalm 44 and verse 3, it is said that Israel got the land. Remember how they did that? Not by their own strength, but by the light of the Lord's countenance. I want you to look at that. He said, "We've heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days and times of old, how Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand." Look to the book of Joshua to find the book of possession where the Lord's people conquered and took possession of the land of Canaan. He said, "And plantedst them, how Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out." They were cast out because they didn't obey the Lord. His face was against them because of that. But He's reminding them of how they got the land. He said, "They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hast a favor unto them." You see, the light of the Lord's countenance being upon you is an expression of the Lord's favor being upon you, being found in favor with the Lord. And then Psalm 89 and 15, it is said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance." We've heard the joyful sound. Do you see? Do you know the joyful sound that comes to those upon whom the Lord lifts His countenance? And then finally today, notice in Numbers 6 and verse 26, these four words, "And give thee peace." Peace. What a word. You remember the Lord's promise to Abraham Back in Genesis 15 and verse 15, when the Lord said, "Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace," whether you realize it or not, want to think about it or not, there's coming a day when you go to your fathers. That's an expression of death. It is appointed a man once to die, the Bible says, Hebrews 9:27. For the living know that they shall die. Ecclesiastes 9:5. And here a man was told that he would die in peace. How will you die? Will we go to our fathers in peace? Would you like to die in peace? You can. I expect it ought to be our prayer that when through with us and it comes time to lay aside this earthly tabernacle, that the Lord will give us a peaceful hour in which to depart. How would you like to live in times when there is no peace? You know, there are a lot of people around the world who have never known peace. See the reporting done in various places. You realize here we have no continuing city. Moved about by bombs dropping and invasion of people with weapons. Fear that somebody come into your place and assault your family. No peace. I read in the book of 2 Chronicles, in the period of the divided kingdom, during Asa's good reign, that for a long season, Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. Some people think, well, we'd be better if we didn't have any law. Look at the conditions that existed then. 2 Chronicles 15:5 says, in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. How'd you like to not have any peace when you go out? No peace when you come in. He said, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And so there have been times when there's no peace. Or would you rather, like the psalmist, be able to say in Psalm 4 and verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You heard of a peaceful night's rest? Some people don't ever have that. And there are lots of reasons why. But because of this blessing that we're talking about today, it's possible for you to be able to lay down in peace and sleep. You can have that. In Psalm 29 and verse 11, it is said, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Again, in Psalm 119 and verse 165, He said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Maybe some people don't have much peace because they don't have much love for the Lord's law. That is His Word. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7, I like this saying from wise Solomon when he said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so the question that I ask myself is, do my ways please the Lord? If I get to thinking, you know, I need more peace in my life, maybe I need to examine my ways. But you can't talk about peace, really, without talking about the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And you know who that is, don't you? That's Jesus. Peace is associated with the Lord. Peace is to be found in the Lord. In John 16, 33, Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. These things I have spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. You see that? Where's peace? It's not out here in the world. Out in the world you expect tribulation. Where's peace? It's in the Lord. And so if you're not in Christ, you're not going to have much peace. You see? That's why you have so much trouble. That's why there's tribulation. You're not in the right place. You're not in the right realm. You need to be in the Lord if you're not in Him today. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, remember when Cornelius was told to send for Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Peter came preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Peace is by Christ. Acts 10:36. Paul wrote the church at Rome in Romans 5 and verse 1, saying, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said in verse 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified by faith through His blood, we have peace with God. In Ephesians 2 and 14, when the apostle wrote the church at Ephesus, he expressed that this way. He said of Christ Jesus, He is our peace. He, that is Christ. And in the companion letter that he wrote to the church at Colossae, in Colossians 1:20, he said, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. And so you can be reconciled. You can be again at peace with the Lord through His blood. And in Christ, you can have, as Paul put it in Philippians 4 and verse 7, the kind of peace that passeth all understanding. Would you like to have that? It's for the taking. It's available. But it's in Christ. You remember how it is we get into the Lord, don't you? Galatians 3:27, you might jot that down. For Paul said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. That's how you get into the Lord. By being baptized into Him. And so as the blessing on this wise in number 6 went, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's our prayer for you today. It may be that you're not yet a child of the Lord. All things are made convenient and are ready that you might be baptized into Christ, that you might put on Christ, that you might be in Christ, that you might be the recipient of all spiritual blessings, that you'll have the Lord as your keeper. But as you do the Lord's will, fear the Lord in your life, that He'll make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That His countenance will be lifted up upon you and that you'll have peace. When you can say, it is well with my soul, come what may, then you can lay your head down on the pillow when you go to sleep and sleep in peace with the confidence that if you don't wake up, that all is well with your soul. Having heard the gospel, would you believe it? Would you be willing to obey it today? To repent of your sins? To confess your faith like others who said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. To be faithful unto death, that heaven may be your home. If you've drifted away from the Lord, like we saw some in Old Testament times who did, and they confessed their sins, and the incentive was the fact that the Lord is gracious, that He would again return and bless them and keep them. Would you allow the Lord's blessing and gracious attribute to be incentive to you today to turn again to the Lord, to serve Him so that His face can shine upon you. We can assist you in that way in making your life right with God. Come now while we stand and sing the song.